BBC News with Jerry Smith. The United States, the European Union and Iran have said that all details of a landmark agreement on Tehran's disputed nuclear program have been finalized and will come into effect from January the 20th. Under the deal reached in November, Iran is expected to curb parts of its nuclear activities in return for a limited easing of international economic sanctions. The American Secretary of State John Kerry said Washington was well aware the deal was just the start of a longer, challenging process.
As this agreement takes effect, we will be extraordinarily vigilant in our verification and monitoring of Iran's actions. While implementation of this joint plan of action is obviously an important step, we are very clear-eyed about the even greater challenges that we face in negotiating a comprehensive agreement.
At the same news conference, Mr. Kerry condemned the Syrian government for what he called its disregard of the most basic human rights. Describing the bombing and starvation of civilians as barbaric, he said the humanitarian catastrophe required more pressure on President Assad's administration to deliver on its promise to allow urgent aid. Mr. Kerry said that 160,000 citizens of a Damascus suburb had received no help for almost a year and were in effect being held hostage. Amid continuing tensions in the Central African Republic, rival Christian and Muslim militias in one part of the capital, Bangui, have declared a truce and shaken hands in public. Witnesses said fighters from the mainly Muslim Seleka forces and Christian militias known as Anti-Balaka asked for forgiveness as onlookers cheered. The people of Haiti have been remembering the victims of a devastating earthquake that struck the country 4 years ago. Hundreds of people have attended special religious ceremonies held across the country. Leonardo Rocha reports.
It is a day of remembrance and reflection in Haiti. Disaster struck on a Tuesday afternoon with a shallow earthquake that had its epicenter just outside the capital, Port-au-Prince. It's believed that at least 250,000 people died. No one knows for sure. President Michel Martelly laid a wreath at a mass grave in Saint-Christophe, where many of the victims were buried. People attended special religious ceremonies across the country. 4 years after the quake, the signs of destruction are everywhere. Reconstruction has been slow, and many are still living in temporary accommodation.
The body of former Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has been carried into the parliament after a steady procession of mourners filed past his coffin to pay their respects as he lay in state outside the building. Mr. Sharon, who died on Saturday, had been in a coma for 8 years after suffering a severe stroke. Dignitaries from around the world are expected to attend a memorial service on Monday. World News from the BBC. Aides to Valérie Trier-Vallière, the partner of the French President François Hollande, says she's in hospital with exhaustion following the allegation that Mr. Hollande is having an affair. Photographs linking Mr. Hollande with the actress Julie Gayet were published on Friday. From Paris, Hugh Schofield.
The statement said that she needed a period of rest and to undergo tests and that she would leave the hospital on Monday. The newspaper, which first broke the story on its website, said that she was suffering from nervous exhaustion. There's still been no clarification from the Elysee Palace about how matters stand in the president's private life following the allegations of his affair with the actress Julie Gayet. With this dramatic twist affecting his official partner, it's increasingly hard to argue that these are personal matters that should not be under public scrutiny.
Opposition protesters in Thailand are gathering in the capital, Bangkok, to try to shut down the city centre on Monday as part of their campaign to overthrow the government before snap elections due on February the 2nd. The government has deployed 18,000 police and soldiers, but the protesters have already begun building barricades and occupying several key road junctions. Britain's Department of Transport is expected to lift speed restrictions for members of the country's intelligence services when they're driving cars on surveillance missions or during covert operations. Officers from the security services are to be allowed to break the speed limit for the first time. Spies currently have to abide by the rules of the road, even when national security is under threat. Here's Lisa Hamperley.
The Transport Minister will announce that spies will have the same exemptions as police, fire and ambulance drivers. They'll be able to break the speed limit when they're on surveillance or involved in covert operations once they've completed a training course in high-speed driving. Vehicles used to carry organs for transplant, bomb disposal units and mountain rescue teams are also going to be added to the list.
Lisa Hamperley. And that's the BBC News.